Our mothers are, they're there for us when life is great. They're there for us from day in, day out. And when things are tough, they're also there. And they are persistent. They pray for us and they love us no matter what. And continuing kind of in Dima's theme, my topic is not the upbeat one. It's more of a topic that we probably don't talk too much about, but it's about the spiritual battle, and sometimes you can refer to as depression. And your pastor is doing a medical conference over in Russia. Now, I just wanted to touch on this topic too, but more importantly, on how we overcome those difficult times. Depression is a really complicated, diagnosis to make clinically, meaning that there's not one aspect to it, and there's not a lab test that you can diagnose it with. But it involves both, all three aspects of man. And as if the slides are up there, you can, when we get those going, we could look at the body, the soul, and the spirit, and how all of those three things are affected by depression. And the body, it's more of a chemical imbalance in the brain, but also the soul. It affects our soul as our past experiences, our past wounds that come into and affect our life. And then, of course, the spirit and the attack of Satan onto our spirit. When we look at Psalm 42, if you can open it up, and that's Psalm 41, откройте. This psalmist was going through a very difficult time in his life. If we were to use our current criteria how to diagnose depression, and depression is diagnosed by history, not by some lab, we could actually see that he was pretty much clinically depressed. He had a depressed mood. He was not able to enjoy what he what he did from day to day, which was worship and praise God. He had thoughts about death. He had loss of appetite. He couldn't sleep. He had inability to function at work. So it was a really tough time for this psalmist. Let's read the psalm together and kind of look at what was going on. Psalm 42, прочитаем вместе. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Deep calls into deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, to help the help of my countenance and my God. The external circumstances that surrounded the psalmist were pretty rough. He says in verse 3, the enemies continually say to me, where is your God? In verse 10, again, he describes this with a deadly wound. As with breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Now, if your enemies are actually telling you this, that's kind of unfortunate because they see that you have no hope. Everything is downcast, and everything seems to be going the wrong way. Of course, the internal emotional condition of the psalmist is pretty cast down as well. Verse 5 and 11, he describes it himself as cast down and being in turmoil. In verse 3, he says, "My tears have been my food day and night." Of course, he is discouraged to the point of just being tearful and crying all the time. But in the midst of all this, he continues to hope in God. And verse 5, we read, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And this is a repeating theme. It repeats again in verse 11. He is not surrendering to his emotions of discouragement. He is fighting back. And that's the fight that I want to focus on with you today, the fight of spiritual battle. I have 6 points, and I hope, let's go up to point number one there. The first thing that the psalmist, actually before I jump there, the introduction to the psalm, we read, "The chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah." Now, who are these sons of Korah? Usually we think the psalms, David wrote them, but in this case, the sons of Korah wrote these psalms. And the sons of Korah were basically they were the worship leaders. So like in your days, you'll be the worship band that was leading you guys. That's what the Korahites were responsible for. They led the people of Israel to worship. And what if you came to worship and your worship leader was just so cast down, he couldn't even lead you in worship? And that's what was going on to this psalmist. He could not do his God-given task. So let's see what he did to overcome those emotions that came with that. So the first thing he does is he asks God, why or for what purpose is he going through those trials? Verse 9, we read, "I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" And he uses the word forgotten as a poetical overstatement, because in verse 8, he says that he affirms that by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is within me. So it's not that God has forgotten him. It's more of an expression of how he feels at that time. He feels that God is not with him. He feels disconnected from God. Now, it's a very legitimate question to ask when we're facing trials and difficult times in our lives, when we face a loss of a loved one, when we face sickness and illness, and it's legitimate to ask God, why am I going through this? God, show me the bigger plan that you have. And that's what the psalmist is doing. He understands that God is still in control. He just wants to see his hand and what he's going through. The second thing that the psalmist experiences or expresses is he affirms that affirms God's love, God's sovereign love. In verse 8, he says, "By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is within me, a prayer to the God of my life." In verses 5 and 11, he calls God my salvation and my God. And even though he feels abandoned by God, and even though he doesn't feel God there, he never stops believing the absolute truth that God is everywhere, God is sovereign, and God is in the midst of his adversity. Look at what he says in verse 7. "All your breakers and all your waves have gone over me." Now, I'm sure you guys go out to the ocean sometimes, and when winds pick up and the waves pick up, it's pretty frightening to be over where the waves break and hit you over the head. You can be knocked out. It can be pretty dangerous. But that's how he feels right now. He feels overwhelmed by all the storm that's coming his way. And the key also, he doesn't attribute those tribulations, those trials to his enemies or even to Satan. He explicitly states that these tribulations are the will of God. He says, "Your breakers and your waves," meaning that God's sending these difficulties, and he accepts that God is in charge still. The third thing he does is he sings. So we look at verse 8. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and we focus on the second part, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So at night, he sings to God and prays for his life. And it's interesting that he actually sings his prayer. It would be an educated guess to say that actually this psalm was what came out of a very long and difficult night. And he penned this psalm at that point, a very, very low time in his life when he was literally depressed. And I'm sure that not many of us can write a song and a prayer like this on the spot when we're in a difficult time. So it's always a good idea to have a good armament of worship songs. And the one that we just sang is beautiful. I mean, it brings us to God when, we sing about when we walk through the valley of darkness there, and God is always there. Those kind of songs that get us to meditate on God's goodness and faithfulness. And the next thing is very interesting. Point four is that he preaches to his own soul. He preaches to himself, pretty much. Look at verse 5. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." We must learn to preach to ourselves at times, too. Dr. Lloyd-Jones, who wrote a whole book on the topic of this spiritual depression, and he has this quote I'd like you to listen to. "Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that you come to the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring you back to the problems of yesterday. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you." Now, this man's treatment in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing the self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" he asks. His soul has been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, "Self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you now." Now, this was before Christ's coming to the earth. All they had was the hope of a Messiah. Now, we are on the other side of that cross. We have the foundation of the hope in Jesus Christ. So we naturally get to preach the gospel to ourselves. And Romans 8:31-35, listen, if you were to preach this to yourself in a time when you were very difficult, listen what it would sound like. "Listen, my soul, if God is for you, who can be against you? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for you, how will he not also with him graciously give you all things? Who shall bring you any charge against you as God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for you. Who shall separate you from the love of Christ?" Now, if you were to tell this to yourself in a very difficult time, I think you would be encouraged by the these truths that are written in Romans. The next thing he does is he remembers past experiences. And that's where we looked at the soul, the body, and the spirit. The soul is what experiences that we have experienced in the past that may actually come and hurt us. But in this situation, the soul comes into play where God lifts us up by remembering the great things that God has done for us. Verse 4, we read, "These things I remember," the psalmist says, "as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival." So he remembers how those were good times when he was able to worship God, and the people responded to that worship and joined in. When God's people come together to worship, something extraordinary happens. And that interaction with God that we have in the house of God is not something that should be taken lightly. And during these times of worship, like today, God means to preserve our faith so that in the future, when things may be not as easy going, that we remember those times and be encouraged by that, because those were positive memories and great experiences that we had worshiping God. And it's not a nostalgia about the good old days either. It's more of a confirmation of God's love, of his goodness in our life. The next thing is the psalmist thirsts for God. We read verse 1 and 2. As a deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, he's not thirsting for relief from his enemies, nor is he thirsting for better circumstances. He is thirsting and yearning for God himself. And when we think and feel with God through the Psalms, we begin to understand God and love God in our minds as well as our hearts. In the King James, as well as the Russian version, verse 2 translates or states a little bit different. When will I come to see the face of God? And the face of God is not something that anybody was able to experience and see, but we do have the answer now. The final answer to that question was is given in John 14:9. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. So Jesus Christ is the image of God. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. When we see the face of Christ, we see the face of God. And we see the glory of his face when we hear the story of the gospel of his death and his resurrection. So, just a quick overview. How do we overcome depression and life's trials? First of all, we get ourselves out of the center, and we focus on what is God's purpose, what is God's plan. We affirm that God is in control and God is sovereign. We sing and we pray, we preach actually to ourselves. We remember God's goodness in our life, and we thirst first and foremost for the face of God. And I hope this gives you a little encouragement today and gives you something to look and encourage yourself. When things get tough, that God is always there with you, even when your emotions tell you otherwise, when your thoughts are elsewhere. Thank you for your time. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're always there, even when we don't feel connected to you, when our emotions are running low and our circumstances make us feel that we are just not worthy of your love. But we have your word that never changes, and we have your promises that always are true to us. We pray that whoever may be having a difficult time here, whoever may have experienced loss, who may not feel encouraged by today, we pray that you would be there for them, that you would bring them joy and happiness in their lives. Pray this in your son's name. Amen.